And good morning, Memphis. I'm Todd Starnes. Yeah, it's muggy out. You're going to walk outside and you're going to bring a spoon and you'll be able to literally eat the air this morning. It's that thick, 87% humidity. We have a very significant risk of severe weather tomorrow. KWAM's chief meteorologist, Joey Sullipet, keeping an eye on things. We're going to let you know when you need to worry, and you'll be able to listen to the Mighty 990. We will immediately break into our coverage in the event there is severe weather moving into the city. All right, I want to play some audio here from last night. Fox News Channel, Laura Ingraham was giving President Trump some campaign advice. Cut five.
So I'd suggest talk less about yourself, more about the American people. You met a lot of them. Voters don't want a replay of the greatest hits about Mueller or Adam Schiff, but they do want you to assemble the most talented advisors and probably best to treat them well. Surround yourself with givers, not takers. Serious policy people who know how to hit the ground running on day one. No more travel ban fiascos. Run a tight ship. And run against the Democrats, not the media. We all know the press is biased, you know, newsflash. Don't dwell on it. Deal with it. And maybe, just maybe, drop the nicknames and the petty personal stuff. It was funny in 2016 and even in 2020, but I don't think it works with how serious the challenges are right now facing the country. I sense that the voters are weary of all of that stuff. So debate your opponents on the merits. You know the issues. You have a great record. Defend it.
All right, there you go. That's Laura Ingraham from Fox News Channel. What advice would you give the president or the former president of these great United States? If you had the opportunity, and you do right now, give us a call. What advice would you give Donald Trump as he gears up for the presidential run? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from Nashville, Steve Gill, and this segment brought to you by God Bless the USA Bible. That's GodBlessTheUSABible.com. Steve, what do you think about the advice Laura Ingraham just gave the president?
I think she was absolutely spot on. The one thing I would add is that in addition to assembling the best team possible, President Trump should listen to his team, because I don't think he has a great track record of actually listening to the good advice that he gets from the people he does assemble as his team. First of all, he assembled a pretty bad team initially with a lot of folks that didn't really have his interest in heart, really didn't have the country's interest in heart. And I think that assembling that A-plus team, you know, one of the things that, you know, again, there could be criticisms of President George W. Bush that he was more of a rhino, that he made some poor decisions as president. But one of the things you have to say about him is that he was not ashamed or afraid of bringing people who were in some cases smarter or more accomplished than he was. And one problem that leaders have a lot of the time is that they will bring people who are not as strong, not as good as them, because they're intimidated or they're wanting to always be at the top of the heap in their view. So they bring in lessers rather than betters. I think, you know, when you have a team that includes the Condi Rices, the Colin Powells, when you have guys like, I mean, you just kind of go through the whole list. He had people that were A-listers. And I think President Trump did not. And more importantly, he did not listen to them. And I think that if I was going to give him a piece of advice, it would be to get people that are better experts than he. I know he thinks he's an expert on everything, but bring in, you know, again, the top flight people. And again, I don't think Joe Biden's done that either. When you look at the, you know, Secretary of Defense versus a Don Rumsfeld, for example, under President Bush, bring in A-listers and listen to them.
Steve, I know on Tuesday you said this case is pretty weak and there's a lot of holes in it, and you have a great legal background. And I'm curious to know what this will do to the other cases, because if he clears this hurdle, which it looks like he probably will, there are other investigations. How do you think this will affect all of the others?
First, I think the New York case has taken some hits in the last 4 or 5 days, particularly when the former legal advisor to Cohen comes out and says, look, I've got emails, I've got documents that the DA, and again, as has been pointed out by many at the national stage, this is not a New York DA. This is not a federal U.S. Attorney. This guy is a borough DA. It's like a city DA in not even the whole city of New York. This guy is second tier in every possible conceivable way and is playing politics. And his case took a hit, a big hit this week, when the former legal advisor to Cohen points out that hundreds of documents that were provided to the DA that is exculpatory evidence was not presented to the grand jury. They didn't know that all these emails of Cohen claiming that he didn't have anything on President Trump, that he didn't have any information, but that he would do anything to try and stay out of jail, and now will do anything to try and tarnish President Trump. So his case is built on a guy who is a proven convicted liar in Cohen, disbarred attorney, and a porn star who has recanted her story that she had a relationship with President Trump and has admitted that she only did it, made the claims for the money. So the case is incredibly weak, and the failure to provide this evidence may get the case thrown out by the court before it gets very far. Otherwise, it is not likely to be resolved before the election, nor are the case in Georgia, nor is the case on the documents that I think are also weak for a lot of reasons, going to really have any significant impact, because they will be after whatever election, and primary or general election, before they actually come to court.
You know, it's interesting. We're getting a lot of reaction on our social media page, our Facebook live video. Richie says, I'd like to know how and why, or rather, I'm sorry. So again, I will ask, if Stormy Daniels got $130,000 in hush money and she later admitted there was not an affair, why is she not in jail for blackmail or extortion? And again, Steve, I think this goes back to something Trump said over and over again, is that when you're wealthy, you're a celebrity, you're in the spotlight, you're going to get these nuisance allegations all the time. And sometimes it's just easier to pay it off to make it go away.
Oh, you're exactly right, Todd. And I, often as an attorney recommended to my clients that while the principle matters, money matters too. And if you can settle a case and make it go away for $30,000 rather than spending $75,000 or $100,000 on legal fees, it's just a matter of economics. Now, when you're a high-profile person, you don't want to have a reputation of settling, because you're going to have even more cases, more claims, because people feel like you're just an anytime teller machine for anybody that wants money. Just make a claim and move on. So, in President Trump's standpoint, the idea of where he would have been refusing to pay off what he knew, was a lie, was because he didn't want to generate more lies coming at him. Now, keep in mind that Stormy Daniels also had a defamation lawsuit claiming that President Trump lied, but I guess he said she did, that she lied. She lost the case. She owes President Trump $300,000 in legal fees right now because she made this bogus claim. The court found it to be bogus and assessed his legal fees against her. So you not only have a lying porn star, you have a lying porn star who owes Donald Trump $300,000 because she lost her defamation case against him. And this is the star witness of D.A. Bragg?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're going to leave it there. Real quick, though, this is, day two of the suspense. Do you think anything big happens today, or will we go into tomorrow? Same result.
Apparently, there are real conflicts within the DA's office because, again, you have real attorneys in the office that are saying, wait a minute, if you don't provide exculpatory evidence to the other side, that is a blatant violation, and the court can throw the case out just for that alone. So I think there are going to be some more debates within the DA's office. I think they may bring some more witnesses to try and backfill the damage that was done by Cohen's legal advisor in saying this guy's a liar and here's the documents that you haven't seen yet. So I think that they're going to do some backfill. My guess is, we're getting to the end of the week. It'll probably be early next week before some definitive decision is made. Yeah. Let me touch on one thing, because it is important in Tennessee. And I know that KWAM has the story up about the state Senate not removing Randy McNally. I want to ask one question for people to consider as they look at the Randy McNally case. If he had been communicating in the same way he was doing it with this 17, 18-year-old man in his underwear, if he had been doing the same thing with a 17, 18-year-old girl wearing nothing but her panties, would he already be gone?
Yes. I think he would. I'm sorry, was that rhetorical, Steve?
I guess it is.
Wow. No,
I think it just shows, though, the distinction of even the states, that they're so afraid of appearing to be homophobic that when you put it in real perspective, if that was a 17 or 18-year-old girl that he'd been communicating with in the same way, would anybody be tolerating? Would anybody be defending it?
It's a fair question. I will say this. Look, if the Republicans are going to go down this path where they don't think there's anything wrong with what he did, then they can't be hypocrites. And I think that's the big issue, at least from my perspective, is they're giving the appearance of being hypocrites. So, you know, I think it is what it is, and people are going to make up their own minds. And I think the state senators have decided to show their support for Lieutenant Governor McNally, and they're so supportive of him, they decided to do that in private. Off
because
the books.
They all hold their committee chairmanships at the whim of the lieutenant governor. They don't want to lose that power. I think after this session is over, either McNally will quietly step aside or the Senate will take another vote. Yeah. I think they want to get past this legislative session before they do anything definitive, because they don't want to lose their power while they're still in a legislative session.
Yeah, sounds to me like somebody up there on Capitol Hill in Nashville needs to be reading God Bless the USA Bible.com. That's what needs to happen.
I agree.
Maybe we can get them all copies.
They'll be reading it aloud.
Yeah, yes. Steve Gill, ladies and gentlemen, and you can follow Steve on his social media platforms. We have those over at KWAMradio.com. All right, Steve, appreciate your great insight today.
Thanks, guys.